My message this morning, y'all don't need no introduction, you know me, you know my family. I love you all. I feel privileged to be here, and I'm honored to stand before you again, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. But if you will, I'm going to read out of Matthew. And it's very familiar scripture. Y'all have heard it a thousand times, and I'm not going to read or to say anything any different than I have before or anything that you haven't learned already. I love Brother Moran, and he's very knowledgeable in the Bible, and I guarantee you've heard this 100,000 times. You know, if I could put a number behind it, millions of times probably, even before him. And so, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, and in the 4th verse through the 27th verse, we're going to read. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings and mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man, a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was it was the fall of it." And I'm done right there. I want you to stop and think about this, what the Lord has placed on my heart this morning, or this afternoon, and think about that rock and that foundation that only Jesus can provide. We are getting away from that as a society in this world, in this country, and it's oftentimes that we need to be a reminder for our Christian brothers and sisters that come together and worship every Sunday, day in and day out, that rock is still here. The spiritual rock that we serve, Jesus Christ, still is here today, and He's with us. And because He's with us, it's because we've built our house upon that rock, upon Jesus. We have a society that wants to build their rock, build their foundation on other things. And we see those foundations crumbling before our eyes. We've spent the last couple of years battling a virus that we cannot see. We cannot see yet, and we fear that virus. Yet, our society does not fear the Almighty God. And as Christians, we do not fear God like, if we've been saved by the grace of God, we do not fear God like we once did. I'm afraid that that is reigning true more today than ever. We need to fear the Almighty God. Not because He wants us to fear Him, but because we know the wrath to come and the ones that are lost and the ones that are undone. We know what's going to happen at the end of time and what He has told us in this good book. And that is why we fear for others, because we want to see them and their souls saved before it's too late. We are not the author of time, nor can we decide what's going to happen tomorrow or any other time in our life. The Lord is in charge of that. And if He sees fit that goes on for another 100 years, it will. If it's time is over tomorrow, it will be. And so we need to place our trust and faith in Him. And we've seen this virus, that something that I was talking about, the fear. We fear something we can't see, but we can't see Jesus with our physical eyes, but we can feel Him in our heart if we've been saved by the grace of God. And that in enough is supposed to is enough. Is enough. Our faith is supposed to be in Him. And our faith has been weakened. Because if we stop and think about this for a moment, who is in control of this virus? Who's in control of this world? The Almighty Physician. The Almighty Physician. Not to say in or taking away that COVID is anything. It is real. And people are affected by it. I've had it. I've had people in my family that have had it. Some have had worse than others. So not to take it too lightly. But we are supposed to go through this. This is a type of thing that we as a society are going to go through, because the book talks about it. Bible talks about the pestilence of this world. And we're not doing, there's nothing new under the sun, so to speak, is what we are facing that people before us faced. And we know this from history. And they got through it. The Lord saw them through it. He is seeing us through this virus. And I'm so thankful for it. Because he's in control of it all. We have no control over it. We can't control it with anything that we try to do. We can try our best to do the best that we can, and that's it. But we can't control something that we can't see. We have to put our faith and trust in the good Lord that he will take care of us like he's promised. Like he's told us in the good book that he is with us. And so he's telling us this in Matthew to make sure that we build this our foundation upon Jesus. Sin has been exposed. All of my life, the 39 years, but even before then, beginning of time, from Adam and Eve till now, the sin has been exposed. But if we want to take it just for out of context for a second and think about our society as in the world today, has God not exposed the evil sins that we see? Things that were hidden behind closed doors are now open, and the sin is being boasted and proud, and they're proud of that sin. Where it was secret before, but now it's out in the open, and everybody knows it. I believe that God is wanting our eyes to be awake during this time of testing. I believe with all my heart, the Lord is testing His children. He is testing. He's giving us a test. Are we passing that test? Are we trying to do the best that we can, really? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. I have to ask me that question every day. Am I doing the most that I can do? Am I allowing the world to consume me? The Bible tells us not to be conformed of the world. Not to be conformed to the world. They don't want us to be conformed to worldly things. He wants us to be conformed to godly things, to spiritual things, to look on above, to look at Jesus, to stay focused on Him. And I'm kind of beating around a little bit, but this is all the message. The truth is the foundation. And how many times we talk about truth, and everybody's trying to figure out the truth of this and the truth of that and the truth of what's going on with this world. You know what? We need to focus more on Jesus. He is the truth, the life, the way. That's who we need to focus on. And his foundational doctrine and what he has told us is true will hold true to the end of time. The Bible tells us the word will last forever. So we think about this for a second, but in John, he tells us in the 12th verse of the 8th chapter, it says, "Then Jesus spake again unto, saying, I am the light of the world. That he who followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." If we've been saved by the grace of God, that light is in our hearts. And that light needs to be shined more now than ever, because we have a limited time here on this earth. And I believe with all my heart that time is drawing near with what we are seeing with our society. I don't want to be a Debbie the Downer kind of message, but we've got to be talking and preaching the truth. I know the truth has come from this pulpit for its whole existence. The men who stood behind this pulpit preach truth each and every Sunday. I know that because I know what I have in my heart. I know what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me. I know what you all have been taught. It's not because we have learned it. It's because we have been saved by the grace of God. And that knowledge and that wisdom comes from this book and comes from Him. And that's where we get the wisdom. That's where we get the knowledge. We're not looking for worldly wisdom. We're not looking for self-wisdom. Because Kyle doesn't know much. At least I don't claim to. And you ask my wife, I don't know a whole lot. But we think about this for a second. We don't know anything, and we're seeing this before our eyes. We're seeing men go out and try to find other ways to serve other gods besides the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes before me but God, but the Father." That's what, and Jesus is there for us. He's our propitiation. He's the one that's the in-between. He's the one. He's the go-to with all our problems in our life that we have to face. And so when we stop and focus on that, everything's going to be all right. If you've been saved by the grace of God, we know this because you've been preached it, that you will be all right. After one day, after a while, the good Lord is going to come back and get us. And no matter what happens to this world, everything's going to be all right. I want the lost people in this church and in my home church and the churches that I've preached at to be able, and all of anybody I come in contact with, I want, if they're lost, I want them to be able to be saved. My heart needs to be right where it needs to be with the Lord. And I will tell you right now, it's not always been that way. And we need to be focused more on Jesus. We're so, our society's so confused. And the Lord is exposing that to us right now, right before our eyes. And so, He is not the author of confusion. The Lord is not the author of the confusion. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to be focused on Him and with that sound mind. Where can we get that sound mind? From the truth of the Lord, from His Word, from the messages that that's been preached behind this pulpit, messages that we've heard that are true. Now, not all messages are true. We have to decipher between what's right and what's wrong. That's what the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is supposed to help us do. Is to decipher what's right and what's wrong. Because the Bible tells us that there's a lot of false prophets out there, and they're in sheep's clothing, and raging wolves. And so we've got to watch that and know what they're preaching. I've been able to, since the last time I've preached here, I've been able to go to various different denominations of churches, and I'm very thankful for that because those churches were not sound. And I don't know why the Lord would send me there but I got to go. If He sends me, I have to do it. And so I'm willing to take that and do that if the Lord gives me the strength to be able to do that. But to be able to stand behind a pulpit and preach the gospel, the true living gospel, to people who don't know it, they need to hear it just the same. And I'm getting eye rolls on this side, and I'm getting amens on this side. That's how split a church I've seen. We need to pray for that church. We need to pray that the sound doctrine comes back to that church if it once had it. This church, actually, Brother Moran might even know it's up toward Butler County. But it was a Missionary Baptist church at one time, and it's went away. They're split. I mean, those churches, types of churches, are all over, all around, because they've gotten away from the truth. The truth is not, it's not my truth. It's not my truth. When I was a nine-year-old boy, the Lord convicted me of my heart and of sins that I did not know. I knew I was lost and undone in front of an almighty God. And if I died in that condition, I knew I was doomed to a devil's hell. I knew that because of what I've heard from the preaching. I knew that from what going to Sunday school and learning these things. I knew that. The burning in my heart I felt, and I had to start seeking. I knew that I had to get right, and when I fought with it a little bit, and when I was 11 years old, to a couple years after starting seeking, the Lord saved my precious soul in a revival in 1993 on a Thursday night. I have that time and place. Do you have that time and place? If you're here and you're lost, I pray that you do get that time and place before it's ever too late. If you're here and you're saved, we have work to do. We have young ones that want to be outside the church and not do what God wants us to do because they're too busy in the world. The Bible tells us not to be conformed to the world because the world will take us away from church. It doesn't want us to have anything to do. You know, the young people of the church need to know that God is an almighty God, and He's a jealous God. And He wants all of our attention. He wants us to serve Him. We see our society decaying before us. And so this is just a reminder. It's all I'm preaching on to this afternoon is a reminder that God is good. He's good all the time. He's the truth. He is what we're supposed to focus on. The world wants to take our minds away from that because they know that the devil knows his time is coming. and he's trying to make a last hurrah, so to speak. I'm praying that the ones who are lost, I've got nephews and nieces that are lost, that don't know the Lord, and I pray that they get saved before it's ever too late. And my nephew Dylan, he'll be 18 soon. He's seeking the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord is not the author of confusion. You see the confusion in this world. He has nothing to do with that confusion. The devil is confusing these young people into thinking they're things that they're not. The devil is telling young boys that they're not good enough. And he's telling young girls they're not good enough, that they have to be something else that they're not. We see that in our society. I'm telling you, God has designed the family. He has designed the family portrait and what it's supposed to be. He's designed the family unit and how it's supposed to function. His perfect plan that we put faith in, we want to put our faith into something else because we don't like it. That's not true. God tells us what a family is supposed to be. A marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman. If you're born a boy, you are a boy. If you're born a girl, you are a girl. I know that if I was to preach this, I would get some flack out in the community and people, and maybe even in some of my church family. I don't know. I would hope not. But when God makes something, it's perfect in His image. He made us that way. He doesn't want us to go changing stuff around. Why? Because His plan is perfect. And the society wants to paint an ugly picture. We have things, so much things have been exposed over the past couple years. I mean, are our eyes open? I guess my message could, if I had a title, it could be, Are Our Eyes Open? Are our eyes open? Brothers and sisters, if you've been saved by the grace of God, our eyes need to be open. I have a young son. If the Lord allows time to go by and he grows up, no telling what he's going to see. I didn't think that I was going to be able to see the things that I'm seeing now. But that makes us stronger, really does, because we need to put our faith more in God than we do in man. Our wisdom does not come from men. It's not supposed to. The Bible talks about that. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another building thereon, but let every man taketh heed how to he build thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the only foundation that needs to be built upon. When we build upon that any other foundation, it will fail. When Kyle wanted to go with his buddies out into the world and do things that I'm not proud of because I allowed them to influence me instead of me influencing them. I got away from God and got out of church for a little while, I got to a spot. I'm going to tell you that before I told my call to preach, I got real low. And I told the Lord, I was like, Lord, you don't want me to preach in front of a bunch of people. I've done all this. And he said, no, I'm going to use you. I'm telling you, he'll use any of us if we allow him, if we are willing to be used. He gives us that choice. We have to be a willing. He doesn't force his will upon us. And our society wants to focus, that we're forcing our religion on. This country was founded, was a great country. It's a great country. It still is. The Lord's blessed it for over 200 years. The men who fought for this country, the men who built this country, done it on the grace of God because they could not have done it without Him. We could not build this great country without the Lord Almighty. He gave it to us. And we got people that want to argue that, but I'm telling you right now, it would have not went as well as it has over the 200 years if His presence and His guidance and direction was not here. It would have failed a long time ago. And people want to take that away like it's a plan that's failed. It's not failed. It's what God intended it for us to do, and we are supposed to be able to worship in freedom, in the true in spirit. however we see fit. That's the great American dream, right? To be able to worship the way we see fit. We have a society that wants to tell us different. There's a truth to that. That God, we need to hold on to that truth. That the truth that God has set before us. The plan that He has set before us. You all, I'm not telling you all anything you don't know already. And I don't mean to waste, I'm not trying to waste or tell or anybody's time, but this is what the Lord has placed on my heart because it needs to be told. I wish there was some younger people in the church, but I wish they were here. And I don't know their circumstances and I don't know their hearts. God does. So I pray that they do get in church. I pray that you all find the pastor that you need. Praying for Brother Moran. I'm so thankful to see him here. He's a great staple that we us young ones have to look forward to. I know he won't take, he doesn't want to be put up on a pedestal, but I love him. I love him. He's a very smart man. And I'm thankful that he's around. Take some lessons, take some notes from him. I just want to be, and I want us to think about this for just a moment. When the preachers are preaching the gospel, we have to be able to tell the truth and be able to express it in a bold way. I want you all to bear with me for just a moment, and because I've got to get this thought that the Lord's placed in my heart. I'm kind of long-winded, but I'm a car lock, so you can blame that. Just blame my dad. No, I'm just joking. I do talk a lot. But when the Lord's got something on the heart, we have to do it. We have to get it out the way He'd have to and the way that it would glorify Him. But we want to talk about truth for a minute. I want us to think about a man whose faith was strong. A faith that even when people, and I'm going to read it because if I don't want to misinterpret it in any way, but a man named Stephen. I want us to think about a man named Stephen for a moment. And Stephen, in Acts 8, y'all know this story already. Like I said, you haven't heard this. You've heard this before, yeah? In chapter 8 in Acts, Stephen's about to go. He's kind of bickering back and forth and talking to these unbelievers, the Jews, and he's fixing to be stoned. And so I want you to wrap your minds. I want us to wrap our minds around about what's happening and how Stephen is holding on to the truth and his faith with God. Because he was picked out of these men. He found favor. God found favor with him. And in the 50th verse it says, "Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in the heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So did ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which slew before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. Who hath received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him in their teeth." I want to stop there for a moment. Stephen has told them, he's rebuking what they believe, their unbelief of God, of Jesus, because they have not accepted the fact that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and he's come, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and has risen. And they could not accept that fact. And Stephen is there telling them, he's rebuking that. Rebuking them, saying that he has done this. That Jesus did do this for you. They couldn't wrap their mind. They're still looking today for their Messiah. And so he's telling them that is not the fact that Jesus did come. He's telling them that Jesus did come. He did all these things for even you. And they did not like it at all. He told them the truth. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't sugarcoat it in any way. He said, if you don't believe this way, and then they did, because of your unbelief, And they got mad and went and gnashed on him. It says they gnashed on him with... they were cut to the heart, so they were pricked in their heart. And then they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were angry. Has anybody ever here told somebody the truth and they've gotten mad at you because you told it to them? What's their reaction? Usually a red face. I know I've probably, somebody's told me the truth and how I reacted, I probably got red faced and, you know, embarrassed. But at the same time, I want you to tell me the truth. I don't want people that love me to lie to me. I want them to be honest. And we have to be able to stand to these people and tell them the truth, even though it will cut to the heart. And they may want to gnash on our skin. They may want to do worse than that, you know? We live parts of the country that we might even, at one point in our life, if the Lord allows time to go by, they may actually throw stones at us. In certain parts of the country, that may happen if depending on who's governing the cities or, you know, and that's another thing. God is revealing the sin of these cities and the things around us. He's letting us see things that I've never seen in my lifetime. Now, some of y'all may have because you're a little bit older, but I've never seen anything like this in the 39 years of my existing, the way that our government officials are acting. And not to bring politics into the church, but just think about how they are acting. God's revealing something to us. Are we awake? Are we awake, brothers and sisters? He's exposing sin. He's exposing what they are stood for. These young kids, they're looking to these professional athletes, and they're looking to these actors for looking at them like they're supposed to be up here. I'm telling you, they are no better than me or you. We're supposed to be looking toward Jesus. Ones we are supposed to focus on. And the Lord's exposed the sins and what they stand for. It's almost amazing of what people that I didn't think were standing for this or that are standing for things that are not godly. Ungodly stuff. And these are godly people that are putting other people above Jesus. The ones that I know that they're just focused on everything else but focusing on Jesus and allowing these athletes to have a voice in their child's head or these children's head. Now they're manipulating comic books. They're manipulating children's movies and books and stuff. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to be awake, church. We've got to be awake. We don't know what they're looking at. We've got to be focused on what they're seeing, who they're around. We have to be aware of these things because we don't know who's chattering in their ear. And we need to make sure that the good Lord's chattering on the other side because His voice will be stronger than those other chatters. And they will. His voice will overcome those chatters. But they got to be in church. They got to know the true and living God. They've got to be saved. They've got to, all those things have to happen. Most importantly, salvation. God is exposing the truth. He's exposing the sin from the truth. My heart burns for these young people, younger than me. It's younger, even younger. It burns for me because the ones that I know that are lost, they're focused more on these other things and they're not focused on Jesus. Focused on video games. Focused on the devil put anything in a child's way to distract you. Well, I'm thankful that I didn't have that many distractions as far as video games and ball games and all those types of things that would interfere with the Lord's service and being at church. I had faithful grandparents. I had faithful grandparents that made sure I was at church every Sunday. My dad had to work at the fire department while I was at church. And my papa, I miss him. He's in a better place. He made sure he was at church. Every service, that man never missed much. I don't even remember missing anything, really. Growing up, he may have. He's not perfect. You all have provided great examples for your family for being here. We need to carry that on as younger. The younger generation needs to carry that on. We need to keep carrying that on. We need to let our people know that church is the place to be. They may not hear a message that you want to hear. It may not be a positive message. It doesn't have to, but Jesus should be the most positive message of all. And the most focused, because he is positive. His hope, our hope lies with him, not this world. And if you're a young people need to focus more on that than they need to focus on this world, because this world's going to burn up one day. And they, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but Solomon knew that from his wisdom, trying to ask for man's heart, and he knew because he tried to live in the world, and he knew that it was full of emptiness. He knew that. God gave it, granted him that wisdom in his heart, and he knew that this world's full of emptiness. That God, that anything, putting anything before him, is the best way I heard it put is you can't take anything in a U-Haul behind your hearse. Like, you can't take things with you to heaven. You can't do that. There's just nothing's going to go. It's just you and your soul, and where you've been, if you've been saved by the grace of God. That's the only thing that's going. People try to put stuff in their coffins. I've seen all kinds of things. But think about that. It's just you. And Solomon knew it best, because he tried those things. He tried pleasure. He was trying and ultimately put his wives before God. And he lived a little longer, but his son Israel fell apart, fell away from that. And so in that way, that was kind of a chastisement. The Lord chastised Solomon because of that. But back to Stephen for a moment. Stephen was standing up and telling the truth to these people when they were gnashing on him, and that when they were cut to the heart. And he says, "But he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord." They got so mad at him because he spoke the truth that they ran with rage toward him. What's any different? If they treated Stephen like this, society, if we allow it, it can happen. It can happen. I hope not. I hope the good Lord splits the eastern sky wide open before any of that hope that happens. If it does happen, but even if it does, you know, we are supposed to stand in truth. We're supposed to take those fiery darts, aren't we? That's why in Ephesians it talks about putting the breastplate on and quenching those darts, quenching the spirit, those fiery darts. So let's think about that for just a moment, that whatever the world throws at us, if we've been saved by the grace of God, we're going to be all right. And it can get ugly. We've seen it. We're seeing it get ugly today. "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their cloths at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Stephen died the perfect death. He just fell asleep. The Lord blessed him while people were gnashing on his skin and gnashing and running up and throwing. And the Lord, I can't wrap my mind around that. Stephen was feeling, his carnal mind was probably scared to death, but at the same time, he's focused on Jesus. So it probably took this him being scared all away, because he was too focused on that, looking at that right hand, that son on the right hand of the Father. He was focused on Jesus. He didn't care what happened, because the truth was told at that moment, and they were mad, but they heard it and it pricked their heart, and it affected somebody, didn't it? It affected Saul, didn't it? that turned to Paul eventually and got saved and got and preached the gospel and wrote a lot of the New Testament. That is the power of God, and that's the power that we serve. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He's the only one. There is no other truth, no other foundation that our churches, our lives should be wrapped around. Once we're saved, God has built that foundation. It's upon us to build that higher, to keep going, to grow in the Lord. He wants us to do that. This world will take us away because that's what the devil wants to do. He doesn't want us to be in church. He doesn't want us to do things that God would have us to do. He wants us to sit on them on Sunday mornings and not preach, not testify or sing a song that the Lord's put on our heart or tell somebody that we love them. There's a lot of, I'm telling you right now, depression is real. If you all don't know that, which I know you do, somebody needs to hear that they love you. I'm telling you right now, if you haven't heard it, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And I've told people that I love that Jesus, and they've smirked at me and laughed, but Jesus does. That is no lie. That is truth. Whether you can see him or you can't see him or feel him, he still loves you. You're not going to see him we're not going to see him with our physical eyes until we get to heaven. But we will feel him in our hearts. When we try the spirits, we'll be able to feel the true spirit. And how he's communicating with us, how he's talking to us. When we try to serve the world, we get away. God doesn't want us to get away from him. Preached on the drawing nigh to God. If you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. That is true. But we have to do it. We can't just expect him to draw close to us. We have to draw close to him. He wants us to. He's not going to force his will upon us. doesn't force us to do anything, but he wants us to. And if we've been saved by the grace of God, we should want to. Yes, this world will make things look so beautiful and appealing, but I'm telling you, heaven is hundredfold beautiful, more than anything we've ever seen on this earth. We have something to look forward to, don't we? Lost person, if you're here, if there's somebody here who's lost, I want you to be there with me. I want to tell these lost people, I want you there with me. I want you to know that you've been saved by the grace of God because his gift is perfect. And he holds on to that gift. We so think that we can lose our salvation. That's not giving us an excuse to sin once we get saved. But what that is telling us is that once we are saved, he's the one that holds on to it. Because if we were to hold on to it, we would lose it as soon as we got up off that altar or wherever he's called us. But that does not give us an excuse to go out into the world and do what we please. He'll call you back. I'm telling you he will, because he called me back. I was out in the world, and that world is empty. Just like Solomon experienced, that world is empty and has nothing to offer you to take the place of Jesus. Nothing. And it will burn, just like the Bible tells us it will burn, and it will be done. Time will be set. It will be over. And wherever your soul, wherever you are at, if you've got right with him, or if you've not gotten right with him, you're going to be in eternity, either heaven or hell. There is no gray area. There's no gray area. I'm about done, y'all. And I know I don't want to wear your patience. But we just want to think about how faithful and true Stephen was to the Almighty God. And I'm sure that was a glorious, glorious day for Stephen. He just fell asleep. And so, I want to finish this. It says in 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, he said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind." First of all, if it's fear, God is not in it. He does not want us to fear. He said, God does not give fear. We see fear being driven, but that's not of God. That's the devil driving that fear. Our fear needs to be respect of the Almighty God. That's the fear. There's a difference there. The respect that we're supposed to give an Almighty God and the fear that the world wants to see us to see, to scare us to do things that the world would want us to do. That's the difference. That's the devil. And so when we can recognize those two things, those two types of fears, in reference from the Almighty God and the world, with the world's the fear that the world wants to bow down to them, to bow down to take us out of church, to bow down to take us away from godly things, to take God out of the things that God was once in. God's not out of anything. He's still there, very much there. He's very much there. But we need to call out to Him. We need to stand up to these politicians and these people who are seeking for God, not seeking for God's guidance. We need to stand up for what's right. We need to tell them, voice our opinion, just like Stephen did. Stephen voiced his opinion to the people who did not believe like he did. And it pricked at one man's heart. We are supposed to do the same. We are His soldiers. We are soldiers in a battlefield that the war has already been won. But we still have these little battles that we have to go through. And we have to trust in the Lord that things are going to be all right. I'm telling you, they will. Why? Because He told me. He told me that they're going to be all right. I'm praying for this church. There's a lot of churches that don't have pastors right now. Praying for them too. Seems like every little bit they're changing. And so it happens. Lord's leading a man to go another way he needs to go. I want y'all to pray for me. Wherever that may be, if He leads me to do something else or wherever He might, I want His guidance. I don't want my own because I've already tried my own and it got me nowhere. And that's where our focus needs to be, is on Jesus. I hope I didn't wear your patience, but God bless you all. I love you. And when I say that from the sincerity of my heart. And you know that. I love our young ones. And I don't want them to see, I see what they're going through. And I see a world falling, but I know the one that's in control. And just like a 99 sheep, He went after the one. So I know if there's ones out there that need to be saved, they will be saved before it's too late. I know that. Why? Because it's the truth. Are we awake, church? I love you all. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sorry to be so long-winded, but that's what the Lord's laid on my heart this evening. I appreciate everything you all do. Thank you.